God, stir a passion in our hearts. Let it overflow. Just feel like, man, I need to share what I feel like is on God's heart for us as a church. And it really is about keeping the fire burning. Keeping the fire burning in our hearts. As it gets colder in the winter coming up, you know, many of us will light that fire in the fireplace, and we're going to keep that fire burning. But often we neglect our hearts when it comes to the fire that's burning in our hearts. And so I wonder if you can open up with me in Luke chapter 6. I'm just jumping straight into my preach this morning. Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45, if you're taking notes. And so follow with me. It says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes," maybe go back, "or grapes from briars." Is that the right word? Did I say that correctly? Briars? I don't even know what it means. Verse 45. "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." Maybe just keep that verse 45 up there. And the challenge is, our hearts are often quite fraught, eh? Our hearts are often broken. Our hearts are often actually not like Jesus. Our hearts can often be rotten at times. I mean, has it happened to you? Maybe it's just me, but has it happened to you when you're driving in a car and you hit a bottle, or someone drives in front of you and you just get angry, you know? Or you see someone gets promoted and you kind of, that jealousy that creeps up. Or maybe a swear word drops out of your mouth and you're like, "Whoa, what was that? You know, I'm supposed to live this life that's pleasing unto Jesus now, but now suddenly this thing that just comes out of my mouth, it just kind of takes me by surprise." In many ways, there are often times that those things happen, right? And the challenge with that is it comes from the heart. At many, many times, it comes from the heart. And I remember, you know, growing up, I used to swear a lot. I don't think I swear in front of my parents a lot, but behind their backs, I was swearing a lot, you know. And as friends, we always said to one another, "Listen, we need to stop swearing." So we had this thing where we gave one another a lummy, you know, like you hit one another on the shoulder, basically. And there's this very specific point on your shoulder. If you hit that spot, it's actually quite sore. Just like, oh, it's very sore. And so we actually just used to beat one another up, you know, just because we were swearing so much. And I remember we said, "Listen, we need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we say." And I want to say for us, it's important. Yes, we should watch what we say, but we should actually watch what's in our hearts. We should actually watch what is in our hearts. Because what's in the heart, your mouth will speak. And I realized, man, my heart was so fraught, so rotten, man. My heart wasn't for the things of God. My heart wasn't for Jesus at all. My heart was for this world and wanting to be accepted, all these different things that played such a big role in my heart came out by the way I spoke. And I realized it's not about just watching what you say. It's actually watching what's in your heart, which is the important thing. And so I want to preach on that this morning. Is how can we make sure that our hearts are on fire for Jesus, that our hearts and our lives bear fruit that will please Jesus? And so it's interesting, if you go back to verse 43 in Luke chapter 6, maybe next one, verse 44. There we go. "Each tree is recognized by its own fruit." And the reason why I bring this point up, it's important, because I've realized in my own life, and I've realized and I've seen it so many times, that you are known by your own fruit, not by the fruit of the person next to you. So what happens now with us in Josh Gen and in 412 with churches all around the world, basically, there's so much momentum. There's so much life in our churches around the world. We've been at how many churches now? I think three or four churches in the last couple of weeks. And there's so much life and momentum. And the challenge is, We often can ride on that wave of the person next to me's fruits, and we neglect that I actually need to bear fruits. That you need to bear your own fruits. You can't take the person next to you's fruit and say, hey, no, look, I'm bearing fruits, you know. No, no, no. You need to take responsibility for your own life. And so the reason why I say that is because I don't want us to just ride a wave and thinking we are bearing fruit where we're actually not. Each one of us is supposed to bear the fruit that Jesus is looking for. So don't get swept up by it. I mean, the momentum in the life encourages me a lot. When people around me are on fire for Jesus, it helps me. Have you heard that illustration of, you know, when you braai and you use, what do you call it, charcoal? And, I mean, all of those briquettes are on fire, they're hot. But if you take one out, guess what happens? That one will start to grow cold. And the thing is, what often happens is if you take one little briquette out, for a long time, it will actually remain hot. Have you seen it? Not like a very long time, but if you leave it on its own, it will kind of remain quite warm. And then we think, no, man, I'm still warm. But actually, without realizing it, you're growing cold. And the next moment, you actually have no use for the whole purpose of what the braai is for, is braaiing the meat. On your own, you won't be able to do that. You actually need those around you that's on fire. And so what needs to take place is you need to invest yourself back into the others that's on fire. So that's why I don't think you can follow Jesus properly on your own. I don't think you can. You might think for a little while, no, man, this is actually not that bad. I don't know why they're complaining so much about I need to be in church. Look, I'm still warm. I'm still hot. But guess what? You're growing cold and more cold. And the next moment, you're going to wonder why your heart is so cold. So get into the fire, man. Get into the fire of Jesus. And so you're known by your own fruits. Are you bearing fruit for Jesus? That's a very good question. And don't blend in by the fruit of the church. Blend in with Jesus' fruit for you. So what's your fruit? And I'm going somewhere with this preaching, so stick with me. But I remember who visited Josh Jen for the first time this year, like 2024. Just quickly, by show of hand, a few of you. I don't know what your experience was when you joined us for that first Sunday, but my first Sunday in Josh Jen down in Cape Town was a bit of a shock. I don't know what was your experience, but I remember that walking into that first Josh Jen meeting, I was a bit shocked. You know, seeing these people being overly friendly, firstly, and secondly, being so passionate about God, they ran to the front in worship. What? That was weird. They clapped their hands. I mean, we kind of were warned back in the day about the happy clappies, you know, the jolly jumpers, or what do you call it nowadays? The crocodile kerk, the crocodile church, and the catchy, the joy to the water, you know. And so there's all these type of things that goes around. And I remember that first time I went in, visited Josh Jen, I looked at these people and I was like, there's something different. There's something different. And what was different is they are devoted. There was a devotion that I've never seen in my life. There's a devotion for one another and for his church that I've never seen in my life. And I realized, man, these guys are bearing fruit of what it means to be devoted to Jesus. And I realized, I need that. And I was ruined for church ever since. Ever since, I was like, man, I want to be part of a church that's devoted. And I don't think we're completely there yet, to be honest, as a Josh in Bloemfontein congregation. I think we need to grow in being devoted. And we'll look into that in the weeks to come, in the months to come. And what does it look like to be a church that's devoted? And in which things are we devoted in? Because you can be devoted into your career. You can be devoted for your whatever, your hobbies. But there's a very specific devotion that God wants. And I've seen something in the life of the church which I'm like, man, I need more of this. I need more of a people being on fire for Jesus, being fully devoted. But it requires hearts that's on fire for Jesus. I mean, if your heart is not for Jesus, you're not going to be devoted. If your heart is to live for yourself, you're not going to be devoted. And so it's important that we just establish again, what's the temperature of your heart? What's that word that takes the temperature of something? A thermometer? A what? Is it a thermometer? I always get it wrong, though. That's why I'm asking. Imagine the Lord coming this morning with a thermometer, checking the temperature of your heart. Now on outreach, our boy was a bit sick. I mean, he was really sick. We phoned Nadine. It's like, hey, help us. What do we need to do? We were on outreach, sleeping in different beds, and it was just chaos. And we had this thermometer, and we actually had to take his temperature because you can kind of feel on the outside a little bit, but it's not that accurate. And so we had to get a thermometer and actually, hey, we want to check the temperature. And if you know what the temperature is, then you know what's required. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come this morning. Lord, take the temperature of my heart. Am I actually on fire for you? Or am I actually growing cold? And you don't wake up cold. Did you know that? You just drift into lukewarmness. You drift into, I don't think it's that important, and that will lead to getting cold. So don't say, luckily that's not me this morning. I'm here at church, you know. Is your heart still on fire for Jesus? And I want to actually trust that if your heart is not on fire for him this morning, that the Holy Spirit will come and set your heart ablaze again this morning. And I'm going to pray for us afterwards. Just, Lord, I want to bring you my heart. And I trust that you will come and set it ablaze. Because we need to be a people on fire for him. So what's the temperature of your heart? And did you know that your life matters? Your decisions you make matters. Whatever you do now, quickly think about this thing. Whatever you do now, whatever thoughts you have, whatever motive you have, whatever you do will either add to the heat or it will subtract from the heat. You need to realize that when you go back to work tomorrow, you don't live a separate church, like a church life on Sunday and then whatever life midweek. Whatever you do throughout the day, every day, will either add to the heat or it will subtract to the heat. You can't just wait for a Sunday. You can't just wait for that, just that when I hold on to the next Sunday or the next gathering or the next conference. We need to be a people that follows him day in, day out. Heart on fire for him. So watch the way you live. Watch it closely. Watch the teachings you listen to on YouTube or whatever you use to listen to sermons. Whatever books you are reading, watch closely what you're doing. Because whatever you do will either add or subtract to the heat. Are you guys still with me? So why is it important to bear fruit? Why is it important to bear fruit? Can't I just live my life my way, you know, thinking we're doing well, but actually we forget that there's Jesus that's looking at our lives, the Father's looking at our lives, and for him it's important. And so I want to read a scripture in John 15. It's quite a lengthy one, from verse 1 to 8. I want you to follow with me. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Verse 4. And this is such a beautiful one. Abide in me, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And this is the one I want to get to. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just keep that up there. Do you realize that there's such an importance of bearing fruit? It's for the glory of the Father. It's not for you to kind of look fruity. It's for you to glorify the Father. So the fruit that you bear as a Christian is there to is supposed to glorify the Father. And when people look at you, they go, "You are my true disciples." Just by the fruit that you bear. So what does it mean for us? I mean, we realize, okay, it's important to bear fruit. It's important that our hearts are on fire, because the thing is, if your heart is not on fire for the Lord, you won't bear the fruits that Jesus is looking for. And so I do want to actually get practical. Who loves being practical about things? Because I do realize often, theoretically, we agree, yes, okay, I need to bear fruit. Yes, I need to, well, you know, but often we don't know how. And so in Matthew 7, verse 20, listen to this. By their fruits you will recognize them. In the translation I've got, I think it's the NLT, you can identify a tree by its fruit, just so you can identify people by their actions. So just as you look at a tree and go, and you go, oh, that's an apple tree, or a whatever, what else you get? A pear tree, banana, or whatever. You look at the fruit of the tree and you make a judgment. Okay, that's that type of tree. In the same way, we actually can look at our actions and we go, oh, that's a Christian. That's a disciple. That's a true follower of Jesus. But often our actions are so worldly that when the world looks at us and like, I don't know if you are following Jesus. And so it's important for us to realize that there's a life that Jesus wants us to live that reflects him. Not just in theory, but in actions. So your actions will show who you follow and what fruit you bear. And so listen to this. This is such a beautiful practical scripture. Just again, evaluating where our hearts are at. In Romans chapter 12, you know, once you start quoting Romans, you know, here we go. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. I'm going to read unto 13. So just evaluate your own life quickly. Love must be sincere. I need you to help me here. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Okay, then I'll read the rest. Don't worry, it's going to take us a long time. Then he continues, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted. It's that same word that I used earlier. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, which means your spiritual passion for Jesus, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I mean, I just love this portion of Scripture. It's so practical. It's just straight to the point. Love must be sincere. Don't pretend that you love someone. Really love someone. It's just such a practical Scripture. And I do want us to just evaluate our hearts. Are we living this? Are we bearing the fruit of what Jesus is speaking us to about in the Scripture? And there's so much for us in the Scripture, but let's be practical quickly. Maybe put up that verse 9 again and we go through it. Love must be sincere. Is our love sincere? Is it sincere? The NLT, it says, love must be, it says, don't just pretend to love. Don't just pretend to love, but really love them, the Bible says. Are we pretending? Are we just, actually, I would love you because I know you're going to love me back. That's not the love Jesus wants. Do you have a genuine affection for one another? Are we really concerned about one another? Or are we concerned about our own things, ourselves? That's, again, that devotion thing, being devoted to one another, not just to ourselves. Do we honor one another? Do we honor one another? I mean, this is a hard one, eh? And it's often, when you're not in front of that person, how do you speak about them? How do you speak about them? Because sometimes we want to act all clever with someone so that it sounds like you know what the Lord is doing in that person's life, but you're actually not doing it in an honoring way. And we talk down on people. Are we actually elevating people, or are we actually pulling them down? We need to honor. When someone gets promoted, when someone is finding a breakthrough in the Lord, are we celebrating, like in a sincere way? Or are we deep down thinking, oh, when's my turn? It's a good test, isn't it? Because this is the fruit that Jesus is looking for. But if our hearts aren't burning for Him, all those selfish things will creep in. Do you still have a zeal for the things of God? Or are you lacking in zeal? Are you still passionate about Jesus? I mean, we were just singing earlier in worship, Lord, stir a passion in my heart, God. Let it overflow. Is that the case in your life? And I actually want us to just consider where we are at, you know? Are we still passionate about Him? Are we serving Him in every way? You know, one of the words for spiritual fervor or being passionate is enthusiastic. Enthusiastic. And my aim, why I say that, isn't to get you enthusiastic for worship. Okay, let's hype you up. But the reality is what you are enthusiastic about, you'll speak about often. So is Jesus actually a talking point in your conversations with people? Like, I've spent hours with people and I never hear Jesus from them. I'm like, and then you're a Christian. What? Is Jesus a talking point in your conversation? Or are you always looking for that hook where you can bring Jesus into a conversation? Because if you're enthusiastic about Him, you'll speak about Him. But if you're enthusiastic about your work, you're going to speak about your work all the time. If you're enthusiastic about your hobbies or your sport, you're going to speak about that all the time. And so we need to make sure, and I'm preaching to myself, I'm very enthusiastic about sport, and so often you don't have to spend a lot of time with me talking about running or cycling or whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, just throw everything out the window. I'm saying, what are you really enthusiastic about? Because I do believe God wants to use me and you to bring about His kingdom wherever you are. And if you're going to be scared about talking about Him, man, we need that courage to just say, hey, ask questions, talk about Jesus. Enthusiastic about Him. I mean, there are a lot of practical things in the Scripture, but the point that I want to make, it should be a lifestyle of following Him. It should be a lifestyle of being devoted to Him, being on fire for Him. And I want to end with a scripture, because I do realize often we think, okay, I need to go and bear fruit now, but what is that fruit? What is the fruit that Jesus is looking for? And we've touched on a few points, but did you know that there's very specific fruit that Jesus is looking for? And what is it? It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Have you heard that scripture of the fruit of the Spirit before? And because we're a people that's of the Spirit, we've been born again. When we give our lives to the Lord, we are born again, not just by water, by the Spirit. That's why we say born again. Like, all of us are born by water in the natural. But then God says, well, you need to be born again. Je moet wedergebore word. You need to give your heart, your life again. Not again. You need to give your life and be born again by the Spirit. And He comes and He renews you. He gives you a new heart. And as people that surrendered our lives to Jesus, then He fills us with His Spirit. Then he says, well, now you bear the fruit of the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is not something you can do as someone that's not a Christian. You can kind of use some of those values and apply it as best as you can, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. And if something that's fruit is a result of what's in the root. So if you have given your life to Him, your root is now Jesus, not the world anymore. So when you are rooted in Jesus, you're full of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will start to be evident in your life. Does that make sense? So we need to make sure that firstly, we are born again. Just, you know, growing up in a Christian culture or Christian household doesn't make you born again. It helps you to learn good values, but you need to, again, take the responsibility of your life and saying, Lord, I want to bear fruit for You. I want to give You my life. And as He does that, He renews us. So I want to look at the scripture in Galatians 5, and I'm going to end with this. This is where we read about the fruit of the Spirit from verse 22 to 25. But it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Such a beautiful scripture. We don't just start off by saying, Lord, I give You my life, and then I live my life I want to. No, no, keep in step with the Spirit. And often I go, Jesus, You need to come and fill me afresh. I need You to come and fill me afresh with Your Spirit. Because I know we're in this world, and the world often wants to draw us into the things of this world. And so, as Christians, it's not the fruit of the flesh, it's the fruit of the Spirit that will please Jesus. And I want to pray for us this morning. Maybe, Elise, you can jump onto the keyboard. And I feel like we need to respond to Him this morning, just evaluating the temperature of our hearts. Where is our hearts? And I want to say, being lukewarm won't produce the fruit Jesus is looking for. Just because the world is compromised, and just because often, you know, churches aren't healthy, we kind of measure what it means to be on fire with a worldly way, in a worldly way. And we think lukewarmness is acceptable to God. God hasn't changed over the years. He still has the standard of being full of the Spirit. Not just like lukewarm full, but full of the Spirit. And I wonder if we can close our eyes where we are and just allow Him to come and speak to us. Where is your heart today? Where is your heart?